Let's rejoice together in the season of the year by turning to our hymnals together to 197. 197, it came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old. 197. To 212, if you will. 212, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. 212, a little bit of an unusual gospel song for us to sing, or hymn for us to sing. We start on the refrain, and then we begin with the stanzas as we go through. So you watch that as we sing together. 212, shall we stand to sing, please?
Thank you.
seated. And I ask the ladies' chorus to come and sing for us.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies, for your ministry to us in the service this evening. Let's turn to our memory verses in John chapters 10 through 12. We'll say the reference and then the verses together. John 1, 10 through 12. He was in the world, was made by him, and the world knew him not. Unto his own, received him not. As many as received him, to them gave he power, sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We thank you for coming and being in our service tonight. There is a single service down in the Collins building. If any of you singles would like it to be excused, you may be. But we thank everyone for being here. If you're a visitor, hope you'll reach into the book rack in the pew in front of you, take out a visitor's card and fill it out in the next few minutes, and then drop it in the offering plate when it goes by you. Once again, this evening we want to pass out these cards concerning listening to the New Testament, either on tape or by CD during the months of January, February, and March. We'd like to see at least 500 of our people commit themselves to do that. So ushers, would you come and put those cards down the rows? I know some of you have already had them two or three times, but perhaps some of you haven't had, or you've not used them when you had them. And there is a place on there, if you already have the tapes, that you would still indicate that you will listen to the New Testament. That's right under your name. So you'll do us a favor by signing your name. And, of course, this would be for each individual, not just for a family, but individuals within the family that would do so as well. And then if you'd like to order some tapes or CDs, it gives the ones that are available there. Under the non-drama cassettes for King James, if you would like to have an Alexander Scorby rendition, put AS after that. Otherwise, it'll be someone else. They're all very good. But if you'd like to have that particular one, you can indicate that on the card. This is the last Sunday we can take orders and get tapes and be certain that they'll be back by the first of the year. Now, you can buy tapes locally, and we'll have some others available, but for those that we need to send off for, we need to have your order today. And this will be a great blessing to you, and it'll be a great blessing to the church as you avail yourselves of the opportunity of increasing your faith by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and the hearing by the Word of God. In that regard, there's going to be a presentation of the Gospel of Luke Monday night a week. That's a week from tomorrow night. It's going to go on longer, but we're going on Monday night. And the tickets are normally $18, and we can have seats for $12. But you need to sign up today back in the Ministry Center. We just have a limited number of seats available. For next Sunday night, I'm going to have Dave Chris come and tell us a little bit about what we can expect at the special service next Sunday evening, and then I may have a few things to add to it about the nursery.
We have a wonderful program prepared for you next Sunday night. Dr. Gustafson of our congregation will be directing an orchestra and the combined choirs from Faith Baptist Church and Hampton Park Baptist Church. So we have a lot of folks on the platform. We'll be meeting at 6 p.m., at Rhoda Heber Auditorium on the campus of Bob Jones University. Rehearsals have been going very well. Everybody in the choir and the orchestra is very excited about the program, and I hope you're planning to be there at 6 o'clock next Sunday evening. Now, some of you may be wondering about parking, and some of you may be wondering whether there's enough seating for everyone from both churches. Let me assure you that both will be available. The university dismisses for Christmas vacation on Thursday, so there will be plenty of parking on Sunday, and there will be plenty of seating. Many of us are going to be on the platform, and so that will create a lot of seating. And so feel free to invite folks to attend. We have these cards, and there's still a good number of those at the Welcome Center. We would encourage you to take them. Once we get past today and Wednesday, there's really not much use for them. So if you will take some of these, invite some friends to come. They will enjoy the service. It will be Christ-honoring, lots of good music, and I think you will be pleased that you invited somebody to come with you. Invite them and perhaps invite them to come to your home afterward for a bite to eat, and that will encourage them to come to the service. Next Sunday night, 6 o'clock, we hope to see you there.
We will have nurseries here for babies through grade or age 3, but we need to know how many folks are planning to use the nursery so that Mrs. Cooper will know how many people to have here to do the work. Now, that will be the only thing that will be taking place here next Sunday evening. So you can sign up at the reception desk or down at the nursery if you plan to use the nursery for a baby or a toddler next Sunday evening. There will be no children's church at all or any other service or activity here. And we do hope that you'll be able to come and share in that time. I had a call from Jim Pfaffenroth today up in Uranium City, and he said, do you ever have a problem of making announcements and nobody hears them? Well, I had to admit that I do. So I'm going to give you some announcements here about a couple of meetings tonight. One is for all individuals participating in the parking lot security. You meet in room 209 after the evening service. Maybe you'd like to participate in that. You could go to room 209, which is down the hall here in the classroom wing. And there will also be a very brief meeting of the deacons after the service, and that will be in A202. Present Deacon Board will be a short meeting, but a couple of items that they need to consider, and so all deacons after the service. I hope everyone will remember that. Yesterday afternoon, the December meet for the Piedmont Quizzing Association was held at Pleasant View Baptist Church, and our teams won 5 out of a possible 8 quizzes. Our fishermen team remains the only undefeated team out of 30 in the league. That's quite a record. The following young people quizzed out with 5 correct answers in a quiz of 20 questions. Jeremiah Dew, Brandon Durkee, Melissa McAdams, Natalie Parker, and Audrey Beth Pegram. So we appreciate our young people. We congratulate them on their achievements. The next meet will be on January the 20th. I want to thank the Pactors and all of the other coaches who work with our young people in this quizzing program. On Thursday night, there will be another school program here in the auditorium. That will be at 7:30, the usual times, and we invite you to come if you'd like to share in that. That will be the kindergarten through the second grade Christmas program. And then next Saturday is a special wedding here of Tommy Kendall and Melissa Washer. I almost forgot her name. And Melissa Washer, and that'll be at the 7 o'clock right here in this auditorium. Announcement about this in the bulletin, and I'd ask you to give attention to that and many other announcements here that could apply to you. Our regular budget needs go right on through this month, even though we do have a Christmas offering, and some of you do year-end giving, special gifts, and that's always a blessing to the ministry, and I trust that we'll be able to meet our budget each week, as well as giving to the Christmas offering, which we would ask to be above and beyond any regular giving that you do. Divided 3 ways: staff bonus, help with a van for the Harrises down in Argentina, and the remaining 1/3 go to our proposed new activity center. And we've set a goal for the activity center, and that won't all come in the Christmas offering, but we've set a goal of $100,000 for the activity center this month. And I hope you'll help us with that and pray and ask the Lord to lead and guide in it. Jim Martin is going to be flying back to Greenville tomorrow. This is going to be a nonstop flight, which is a real blessing. He'll be going to Roger Peace, but he will not be able to have any visitors, so please remember that. Notes and cards will be greatly appreciated, but pray for Jim as he makes the trip. Pray for him as he's there at Roger Peace that he'll have good rehabilitation and the Lord will just undertake in a special way. Sarah Rice had to go back into the hospital for a day or two. She's in Greenville Memorial. Helen Johnson had to go back in the hospital. She had just gotten home. I think she had hip surgery either yesterday or today. So remember Mrs. Helen Johnson. Lester Wright is now home from the hospital. Carl Erickson is either moved or will be moved to the National Health Care Center for a week or 10 days. I want to congratulate David and Michelle Arnold on the birth of their new baby daughter, Abigail Christine. I want to pray for these folks and, of course, for ourselves as we're gathered here. Also want to pray for our country in this unsettled time, that God's hand will be in this, and we know it will be, but that his power will be recognized in some way, that man won't get the glory for what takes place, but God will get the glory for it. We need to, as Christians, be earnestly praying to that end. We'll ask the ushers to come and get in place, and we'll have our prayer and receive your offering. And you can turn those cards concerning faith by hearing. Put those in the offering plate, whether you use them or not. Just put them in the offering plate along with your offering. Father, we come on this Lord's Day evening, and we're praising Thee for Thy care for us today, for ministering to our needs. We pray for these folks that have these particular needs, who are in the hospital or have been in the hospital. Lord, that Thou wilt provide for them all that is necessary. And may they have a sense of Thy presence with them, because if they know Your Son, the Lord Jesus, and these that we have requested for indeed do, then we know that Thou art there with them. And may they just have a special sense of Your presence there. Pray for Jim Martin as he comes back to Greenville tomorrow from Pittsburgh, that You'll give a safe trip. And the Lord, we're glad he's able to come back. And may he continue to gain strength, and as it's pleasing in Thy sight, may that time come and come soon when he'll be able to walk again. And Lord, as he anticipates more chemotherapy, have Thy will done about that. By faith, we look to Thee for that day when Jim will be able to be back with us and perhaps even playing the organ again, as he has so faithfully done for these many, many years. Lord, help us to let him know of our love and our concern for him by our cards and by our notes. And we pray for these others that are put aside too, that, Lord, we'd show our compassion toward them, knowing how we've been blessed when we've been put aside by the concern and the prayers of others. And we dare not forsake these and forget these who need our prayers and who need our compassion now. We ask Thee, Lord, to be with our country in this unsettled time, and we would pray that in some way thy hand will be seen in this, and as we look back on it, we'll be able to say, God did it, God worked it out, He saw what was best as far as carrying out His purpose and His plan, and Father, help us to be content with that, to know what Thou dost do is always in line with Your overall purpose for this world and for the nations of the world and for the peoples of the world. Thank You, Lord, for the faithfulness of Your people in supporting this ministry, and that we've been able to reach out to others and help them and support them. As we come to this final month of this calendar year, I pray, Father, that we would be diligent in doing what we are able to do, that our regular budget needs will be met, that we'll have an outstanding Christmas offering, that we'll have unusual year-end giving, that the funds will be available for our staff bonus, for the activity center, and for the van for the Harrises down in Argentina. Lead us in our guide us in our giving this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to say a special word of thanks to our brass group tonight for their beautiful offertory for us and all of those who have had a part in the music program throughout the day today. Let's take our hymnals once again, please. Turning now to 209. 209, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Do something that we do occasionally here. We'll sing this entire piece tonight with just the voices, without the instruments. We'll let the piano give us an introduction, and then we'll sing together with just the voices. Now, that doesn't give us an excuse to sing too slowly, so you watch me and follow me as we sing together. 209, standing to sing, please. Everyone, please, on the melody.
Services from Hampton Park Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Would you turn with me to two familiar verses in Isaiah chapter 9? And following these verses in prayer, Annette Reich will be coming to sing for us. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. Let's read them together aloud. Beginning, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Father, we thank thee that throughout your word you have given us these names and titles concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to the world, made himself poor that we might be made rich, as he offered himself as a sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. Pray again that of all the things that get our attention during this season, that Jesus Christ will get the major attention of each one of us. We look to thee to continue to guide us in this service for Christ's sake. Amen.
Sing them.
Thank Annette for her ministry to us tonight. If I were to tell you she was my niece, you might think she got her singing ability from me, so I won't say that. Several years ago at Christmas, we did a study of the various names and titles given to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. We didn't begin to cover them all. There are so many of them. But we talked about it being the Word of God and the Lamb of God and the Carpenter, the Consolation of Israel, the Savior, and Emmanuel, God with us. Here in Isaiah 9:6, we have several other names implied or given. And each of these speak of the infinity of our Lord. Now, infinity means having no boundary or limits, beyond measure, endless in quantity or time. Certainly, our Lord is limitless. Infinity. Rest with Him. It says in this verse, the government shall be upon His shoulder. The titles governor or king are implied here, although He is called by both of them in Matthew chapter 2. We'll not turn there, but I know you're familiar with those verses. Now, in a way, the governments of the world are already under His control, and I think this is something for us to rejoice in as we think about the situation in our country today, in our nation today. While men may think they're making the decisions, and they are making decisions, but they can only make those decisions that God allows them to make, and they can only bring about those things that God allows them to bring about. It says in Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of waters. He turneth it whithersoever He will. God directs the streams and the rivers. And it says here, He can turn the king's heart just like He turns the course of a stream or of a river. And I don't think this applies just to kings and presidents, but to all that are in some political or civil authority. Says the powers that be are ordained of God in Romans 13:1. And so all of those who have positions of authority in our nation today, whether it be on the local level or the state level or the national level, they are ordained of God. God allows them to hold the positions, to hold the offices in which they are now employed. And if God did not allow that, they would not be there. I know we cast our votes, and God doesn't force us to vote one way or another. We have the freedom to vote, but once again, God can impress upon our minds and upon our hearts how we ought to vote, for whom we ought to vote. And in this present situation, or crisis, as many people are calling it, there's nothing we can do. We have cast our votes. We're not going to be able to vote again, at least I don't think so. They're going to bring that about. So what we can do is wait and pray. And I've been praying for this, and I know many others have as well, that somehow God's hand would be seen in this, that the leadership of the Lord would be recognized, whether it turns out the way we want it to turn out or not, that we'll be able to look and say, God brought it about. God directed it. And what we have is what God has ordained for this time in the history of our nation. Of course, we can always pray for the best, that God will give us the best leaders in the various offices, the hundreds and thousands of offices that are in existence in our country. But the prophet here is looking beyond the governments of the world today. He's looking beyond this time. He's talking about something else. And that is the future literal reign of Jesus Christ on earth. Look at verse 7. It says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. We believe the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is going to come and he's going to literally reign over this world for 1,000 years from the throne of David in Jerusalem. Turn also to Micah, if you'll turn back and find Micah here. I don't know if I can find it or not. Maybe you'll find it before I do. Micah chapter 4. Looking at verse 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted, and I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation, and the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. That's a day that is coming. That's a time when Jesus will literally reign here in this world. So as we think about this title or this word, the government should be upon his shoulder, we're talking about supreme or infinite authority. Heads of nations have great power today, but we know that power is limited. While the President of the United States has unusual powers, it is limited. He can only go so far. We all think he's gone too far, but he can only go so far. Over in Israel, the prime minister there, who's really the power in the government, has resigned. He had power, but he didn't have power to do what he wanted to do, whether it was good or bad. Now he's resigning, and a new government is going to be formed. So the heads of government today, the heads of nations in our world now, have limited authority, even though they may hold high office, and even though they may get a lot of attention, and even though they may become wealthy by doing this. As we look at world leaders, probably in days gone by, if we think of somebody that came close to having infinite authority in his nation, it would have been Hitler in Germany, or it would have been Mussolini in Italy, or it would have been Stalin in Russia. But even they did not have infinite authority. While they had control of what people did and the way people lived, they did not have control of the hearts of people. They didn't know what was in the hearts of their subjects. And there were many who lived in those countries whose hearts were not in tune with their leaders, whose hearts opposed what their leaders were doing. But the Lord Jesus Christ, as he rules and reigns, does not only have the power to control, but he has the power to win the hearts of people and to have their hearts in tune with him. So, here we have Jesus Christ, this one who was prophesied here by Isaiah, one of infinite authority. And then it says his name shall be called Wonderful. And this talks about infinite glory. Many people may be considered wonderful in one thing or another. We've been talking about people in power and government. And we might say, that's a wonderful person. He's a wonderful leader. He makes decisions that I agree with. He seems to be going in the right direction. Or we see people in business, and they become wealthy in their business. And we say they have wonderful ability. And so we can talk about people being wonderful in many areas of life. But only Jesus Christ is wonderful in everything. There isn't anything in which he is not wonderful. He was wonderful in his birth. The time of his birth was prophesied by Daniel in chapter 9. The place of his birth was prophesied by Micah. The name that he was going to have was prophesied by Isaiah in 7:14. We were told there also that he was going to be born of a virgin. That was prophesied. That his was going to be a pre-existent birth. He's the one who had been from everlasting. He didn't have his beginning in Bethlehem. He always has been. His was a royal birth, even though he was born in a stable and cradled in a manger. Nonetheless, he was born to be a king. He had a royal birth. So he was wonderful in his birth. He was wonderful in his life. He was the one man who lived an altogether perfect life. The only man the world has ever seen or ever will see that we can look at. We can scrutinize everything he did. We can scrutinize everything he said. If we could see his thoughts, we could scrutinize his thoughts. And we could say this is the one person who was wonderful in that he lived a perfect life. He was wonderful in his ministry. As he taught, people said, we've never heard anybody say these things. He speaks as one having authority. He's not like the scribes and the Pharisees. So he was wonderful in his teaching. And they had never seen anybody do the miracles that he performed. Miracles of healing, the miracles of raising people from the dead, the miracles of providing for hungry people when they'd been following him for several days, the miracle of quieting the storm, all of these miracles that he performed. No one had ever been able to do that, and no one has ever been able to do it since then, and no one ever will. So his ministry was a wonderful ministry. Above all ministries of all men who have proclaimed the word of God of all ages. He was wonderful in his death, because his death was not one in which his life was taken from him, even though that was the outward appearance. But he said, no man taketh my life from me, I lay it down of myself. And he laid down his life willingly in death to fulfill the will of the Father. And it was not a futile death. He was not one who believed in a cause and directed a cause for a time and then found out that people weren't accepting his words and accepting him and that he died a martyr for his cause. He was no martyr for his cause. He died, as we know, as the sacrificial Lamb of God upon the cross of Calvary. He was not defeated in death. He was victorious in death. And that victory was proven even further in his wonderful resurrection, his bodily resurrection from the dead, where he came forth in a glorified body. And we're promised that one day we'll have a body fashioned like unto his glorious body, as we are raised from the dead to newness of life, to live forever and ever. Wonderful. He was also wonderful in his ascension into heaven. He'd be wonderful in his coming reign. No one will ever come close to reigning like the Lord Jesus Christ will reign when he reigns here on earth. And in his present relationship with us, how wonderful he is in his love for us, in his grace that he extends to us, in his care that he shows us, in his sympathy and compassion in our time of need, in allowing us to be identified with him. What a privilege that is. We take it lightly, I'm afraid, that we can be identified with this wonderful person, the Son of God. We can go by his name, and we can follow him in his way, and we can identify ourselves as sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Wonderful in authority, just wonderful in his glory. The wonderful here speaks of his infinite glory. And then thirdly, says he shall be a counselor. And this speaks of infinite wisdom, infinite wisdom. Daily guidance in special matters, in lifelong decisions that we make. The Lord gives us counsel and direction. We're able to counsel one another. We're able to help one another. But all of us have come up against situations where we felt like we were just up against a wall, that we didn't know what more to say. We didn't know how to further counsel or direct. But the Lord never comes to a place like that. He is infinite in His wisdom. He always has the answer. And when we don't have the answer, it's not because the Lord doesn't have it. It's because we haven't sought it, and we haven't looked to Him earnestly for that direction, for that answer that we need. Now, how does the Lord give counsel to us? Well, it's very evident. He gives it by His Word, by this book. He shows us the designs of Satan, what Satan's trying to do in our world today. He shows us the ends of the wicked, that the wicked are going to be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. He shows us how to live. While much of the Bible has to do with telling us about God and about Jesus Christ and about heaven and about hell, the Bible has a whole lot to say on how to live, how to get along with one another while we're here in this world. And we'd have far less disputes and far less domestic troubles and far, far fewer divorces and fewer beatings and fewer murders if people learned to live by the wisdom of the Word of God. He shows us that He's the best example to follow. If we follow His example, we'll be following a perfect example. Remember, He doesn't save us by His great example. But we do well to follow His example in every way that we can. And then He gives us His Word as a rule for guidance. So He directs by His Word. He also directs by circumstances at times. We ought not to depend wholly upon circumstances, but all of us can give testimony that God guided us by circumstances in one way or another in our lives, that we were in a situation and God opened the door, or God closed the door, or God brought somebody into our life, or God brought some words to us. God did something just in circumstances. We could say, this is the leading of the Lord. This is the Lord directing me. So I say to go by circumstances alone would be a mistake. But circumstances, as we are seeking the will of God and we're seeking the wisdom and the counsel of His Word, we should pay attention to circumstances because God does use them. And then He guides us by His Spirit who lives within us. And as we know, the Spirit always guides us in line with the Word of God. Doesn't lead us contrary to the Word of God. And even with the Holy Spirit living within us, sometimes we're confused as to which way to go. And maybe even as to where we are. I read about a man in London who got caught in one of those London fogs, and he became hopelessly lost. He did not know which direction to go home. He knew his address, but he didn't know how to get to that address. And he happened to see a blind man just kind of going down the street with his cane going along. And he stopped the blind man and he said to him, "I'm lost. And I wonder if you could guide me to my home, to my address." The blind man said, "Surely I can. I know these streets very well." And so here's a man with sight in a fog following a blind man to get him home. And oftentimes we're in a fog, but the Holy Spirit's never in a fog. The Holy Spirit's not blind, of course. But while we may be in a situation that we don't know which way to turn, we don't know how to get out of it, the Holy Spirit is there to guide us and direct us. Christ knows the way through life. There's no mistake in His counseling. He is infinite in wisdom. Then He's called the Mighty God. And this speaks of infinity in power. This is the title of His deity. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. John 1:3. Declared to be the Son of God with power. Romans 1:4. Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His sufferings, Philippians 3:10. We noted this morning He created all things. He sustains all things. He holds them together. He forgives sin. He gives everlasting life as His gift to us. His deeds are powerful. His words are powerful. And His presence is powerful with us. Indeed, He is the mighty God. Infinite power. Power such as no one else has ever had. No one else ever will have. Still another name that is given to him, or another title here, is that of the Everlasting Father. A father, or father, is the term of relationship. He is the one to whom the Christian owes his life, as we owe our lives to our earthly fathers, our earthly parents. He's the one to whom the Christian owes his likeness and owes his blessings, owes his support. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's to him we owe our inheritance. We talked this morning about being joint heirs with Jesus Christ, common heirs with him. All that he receives of God's glory will be ours to share with him. As an earthly child owes these things to his earthly father, so we who are Christ owe everything, everything to him. And then finally, he's the Prince of Peace. This speaks of being infinite in redemption. Peace was the keynote of his birth, as the angels proclaimed his birth. Talked about the peace, peace to men of goodwill. It's the legacy of his death when he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." That was just before he went to the cross and the disciples were troubled. But Jesus said, "I give you my peace." It's the promise of his salvation, being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. It's the character of his kingdom, as we look again here in verse 7 of Isaiah 9. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. None of us can really number all of the peace accords that have been signed by various nations in our lifetime. If we've lived, if we're adults and we've lived a number of years, there have been so many of these peace treaties and peace accords that have been signed. How many over in the Middle East have we had? And yet there's less peace there now than there's been for a long, long time. But they'll keep working. If the prime minister is not returned to office, they'll get a new prime minister and he'll work some more for peace. And when he's gone, somebody else will work for peace. But there'll be no peace we know there in the Middle East until the Lord Jesus Christ comes with his infinite authority and he establishes peace. And there will be no end of his peace. His peace treaties will not be for a little while. They will be from now on. They will be permanent. No end to the peace. But it goes beyond governments, goes beyond these other things for you and me to have his peace in our hearts, to be guided by that peace, to let that peace be the center in our relationship with others. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, Paul said, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we've looked here at these titles of our Lord. Governor or king, speaking of infinite authority. Wonderful, speaking of infinite glory. Counselor, infinite wisdom. Mighty God, infinite power. Everlasting Father, infinite love. And Prince of Peace, infinite redemption. There's an automobile, I don't know if it's still on the market or not, that's called Infiniti. But it doesn't deserve that name. There's nothing that men have ever made, nothing that men have ever developed that deserves that name, Infinity. That belongs alone, rightfully belongs alone, to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this world to be our Savior. Let's pray. All of these names and titles given to the Lord Jesus are meaningless to those who don't know him as Savior. That's the first and foremost name or title that we need to believe, we need to accept. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That is what the angels said. That was what they told the shepherds. A Savior. Have you accepted Him as your Savior? Have you into your personal heart, into your life, have you accepted that work that He accomplished on the cross of Calvary? That's what He came to do. How sad it is that in our world that we have these millions of people celebrating Christmas, but they don't know the Savior. How useless. How useless. Do you know Him? If you know Him, are you living for Him? Are you looking at Him as the infinite authority in your life? Are you trusting Him as your infinite counselor? Do you see Him as your mighty God, the source of power? You living in His love? Do you have His peace? I trust you do, but if you don't, He wants to be all these things to us individually. I believe that. Knowing Him as Savior and having our lives surrendered and yielded to Him. Father, You've told us so much about Your Son in Your Word. You've made it clear as to who He is, why He came, what He's doing now, what He's going to do. But for us in this moment, the most important thing is what He's doing now. That He's saving those who will come to Him and receive Him, forsaking their sins and turning from their sins and receiving Him as Savior. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight who hasn't had that experience of being truly born again through Your power, may that become their experience tonight as they come to Christ, willingly surrender themselves to Him. And if there are those who profess to be saved and yet they're not really following in Thy ways, Lord, speak to their hearts and make them miserable in their waywardness and bring them back into that way in which they ought to go, a way in which they would be blessed and others would be blessed. Lord, when we walk in the wrong way, we lose the blessing and others about us lose the blessing as well. So You know our hearts tonight, and we just look to Thee now to lead and guide in this moment of opportunity that is before us. In Christ's name, amen. We're going to sing number 331. Have you any room for Jesus? And if you haven't had room for Him as Savior, you make room for Him tonight, receive Him as He brings you unto Himself. If you are a Christian and you have a need in your heart, you need to come, maybe kneel here at the altar or have somebody pray with you and counsel with you, we invite you to do so. Let's stand together. 331. Thank you. close our eyes and ask the choir to sing a verse for us. If you need to come, this is your blessed opportunity to do so. The Lord won't turn you away. He's promised that. You'll come to Him. Whether it's to come to receive Christ or just come to kneel here at this altar as a Christian. If we have others who are not members of our congregation, you believe the Lord would have you to become a part of this ministry, we include you in the invitation as well. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. While the choir sings, you come. Father, this is the day of salvation. This is the day that Thou hast given of calling upon Thy name and being able to accept Thy forgiveness for our sins and to receive the gift of eternal life. For any who may have been here this evening who did not avail themselves of receiving this gift, Lord, I pray that You'd work in their hearts even as they go from here and that You would make them literally miserable in their present condition until they come to know Thee through Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Again, we pray that You'll go with us as we go, that Your hand of blessing will be upon us. You'll help us throughout this coming week to follow in Thy ways, to Lord, to look to Thee for that wisdom and direction that we need. We pray once again for our nation in this time. And Lord, above all, we do pray that Your hand will be in this. You will bring about that which You deem to be in line with Your future purpose for this land of ours. Pray, Father, that You'd bless those that have special difficulties in their lives that they need to face this coming week. Thou would encourage them and strengthen them for Christ's sake. Amen. Let me remind you about the deacon's meeting. If you're a deacon or if you want to help with the parking lot security, to go to 209. Also, to sign up, if you want to go to that presentation, Gospel of Luke, a week from tomorrow night. And if you ordered the whole set, this is for the ladies, if you ordered a whole set of the Titus 2 conference tapes, they're ready back in the ministry area. The single tapes are not yet available, but the whole sets are back there. You're asked to go by and pick them up. We're glad to have Amber Link coming tonight. She's making a profession of faith in Christ or letting us know that she's accepted Christ and coming as a candidate for baptism. And I hope many of you can greet her before you go on your way. Let's turn to 194. 194. Let me just say a word again about the Christmas Eve day, since some of you won't be back in the service here next week. We'll have just the morning service at 10 o'clock. On December the 24th, we're not having Sunday school that morning, but the morning service back 1/2 hour or up 1/2 hour, whatever you want to call it, at 10 o'clock on the 24th. And then our first Christmas Eve candlelight service at 5:30, our usual Sunday evening meeting time, and the second service then at 11 o'clock. So keep those in mind for 2 weeks from today. We'll sing the first and last verses of this wonderful carol, Joy to the World.